Bizarre.
WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's begin with this dating tale. Police in Tennessee arrested a man who allegedly stole his date's car and then used it to pick up her god sister for another date at a drive-in movie theater.
No man, oh man.
This all happened.
That's multitasking.
In one shot, Kelton Griffin picked up his first date. And
that crazy old Kelton.
She allowed him to drive her car because she didn't know where he planned to take her. Well, he stopped at a local gas station, and when she went inside to buy some items, he sped off, leaving her stranded. She tried to call him, but he blocked her number. When she tried to reach out to him on social media,
at this point, you have to think the date's not going well.
She discovered that he had blocked all of her, all of his accounts as well.
Wow.
She then contacted her family to let them know what had happened, and then she received a text message from her own god sister, who told her that Griffin was on his way to pick her up to take her on a date. Once they arrived at a local drive-in theater, she texted her again and waited for the police to show up, and they arrested him.
I guess he thought she wouldn't tell her god sister.
Maybe, yeah. This is wild, and this is yet another plant injury story, two in 1 week. A Vermont woman who received the equivalent of second-degree chemical burns on her legs after falling into a wild parsnip plant is warning others about the dangers of this seemingly harmless herbage.
This is the second burning plant story you had in about a week.
Wait till if you see the pictures of these blisters.
Is it better than the is it worse than the first plant?
It's about the blisters on her legs, Steve, are about
the size of a tennis ball.
It's unbelievable.
From parsnips, did you say?
From wild parsnips, which are a little different. Charlotte Murphy was traveling across the southern part of the state for her internship. When she stopped on the side of a road, she lost her footing and she fell into the plant, breaking it, causing the oil from the wild parsnip plant to come into contact with her bare legs. Unfazed, it didn't hurt her at the time. She went about her day and she spent some time in the hot sun. Little did she know this would only make her condition worse. 2 days later, she noticed small red bumps begin to appear in the same area where the plant came into contact with her skin, but no itch or pain. She didn't think anything of it. She said she was well aware of the dangers of the wild parsnip plant, or as the Wisconsin Natural Resource Magazine calls it, the hobo brother of the cultivated parsnip.
Okay.
According to the magazine, wild parsnip contains chemicals in the juices of its green leaves, stems, and fruits that actually cause intense, localized burns, actually a sunburn. When the chemicals from the wild parsnip plant are absorbed into the skin, it can make that person more sensitive to ultraviolet light from the sun. It destroys cells and skin tissue. Though the reaction takes time to produce visible damage.
You're telling me this hardball-sized thing we're seeing on her leg is full of, like, pus?
Yeah, it's a blister. It's got liquid
Jesus.
In it.
Jesus.
Unfortunately, she said, I scratched it a lot in my sleep and woke up with blisters on my leg. The next morning, there was a start of a really big blister, and my leg was so swollen I couldn't walk. She was in a lot of pain. That evening, she returned home and showed her parents the blisters. At that point, they all realized it was something really bad. So I was in a state of panic.
Does this look
of
weird?
How the blisters grew so much in one day.
Do these large baseball-sized blisters on my leg, do they look weird?
Murphy's parents rushed her to an urgent care clinic. They were unable to drain the big blister on her lower left leg, so they bandaged her legs and gave her antibiotics. She returned to the clinic over the next couple of days. Later, they took her to the University of Vermont's Trauma and Burn Center, which helped treat the wounds. She's expected to make a full recovery, though she will likely have scarring on parts of her legs and will have to be wary of how much time she spends in the sun in the future.
All right, Marissa, you get off on popping zits and stuff like that. Would you be into a pus-filled blister of that size?
No way. Okay. I like the little one. Like, I'm walking by somebody, or I'm talking to them, and I just, like, see, like, a little one on their nose. Like, I can't.
You'll pop that sucker.
This is repulsive.
That's just disgusting.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
Well, the men thought they were going to a South Miami-Dade house for a casual and clandestine tryst with a bored housewife. Once there, the men agreed to be blindfolded and for sex acts to be performed on them. Now, what the victims did not know, federal agents say, is that the supposed housewife was a cross-dressing man named Brian Denemoister, and he was uploading videos to a porn website and charging users to view them.
At any point, did he say he had to go get the gimp?
No. Federal agents late Tuesday arrested Denemoister and charged him with 5 charges related to the operation of Straight Boys, which promised gay men videos of real straight men
Wow.
being conned into accepting sex acts, all while blindfolded or wearing blacked out goggles. So it was legit. I mean,
it's pretty ingenious.
Sometimes you'll see videos that claim to be something and they're clearly not. They're acted out. But this was legitimate.
I don't know what that guy's watching in the other room, but it seems great.
Investigators believe Doornmeister ran the site for at least 4 years.
All the same scenarios?
It featured at least 600 videos, although the website is no longer in operation. Many of the videos are still viewable on other adult websites. Agents are still trying to figure out how many of the people depicted on the site may be victims.
Wow.
Never knowing their rendezvous was being recorded and uploaded to the web. Agents believe that Doornmeister posed as a real heterosexual female and posted ads on Craigslist seeking flings at her house near the Homestead Reserve Air Base. And when the men would ask for assurances that there are no cameras, he assured them that, quote, she was married to someone in the Army and she would never photograph or video them. In actuality, however, he is in the video and he was video and audio taping the entire sexual encounter.
Why don't you boys just sit here? I'll go get some lemonade.
Doornmeister was charged with 2 counts of illegal interception of oral communication and 3 counts of record keeping violations. So
it's the accounting. They always get him on the accounting.
Right, exactly.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
Okay, so a former Olympic show jumper.
Yes.
So these are the people that do an equestrian event. Used pig's blood to daub lewd messages inside of Tory Peer's house, which is a member of parliament, I believe, after he cheated on her, a court has heard.
And this is part of the show?
Excuse me?
No. Oh, he's pissed off.
Okay. Lizzie Perbrick entered conservative peer David Pryor's home after seeing him in the arms of another woman. She used a garden sprayer and liters of pig's blood to cover walls with phrases such as whore and lady slut. She admitted one charge of criminal charge.
Lady slut.
The court heard Perbrick also drew a penis on the floor and left a check for $1,000 at Lord Pryor's home in Kennington, South London.
Wow.
Simon Nichols, defending, told the court that the pair, both estranged from their spouses, had been in a relationship for several years, adding that his client felt that her affair with Lord Pryor had longevity. But he said, to put this delicately, this comes to an end when she discovers him in the arms of another woman who is married to another member of the House of Lords. The whole incident she describes as cathartic, and she has now moved on, apparently.
So we're looking at the room. It says Mags, wet tween legs.
Yep.
And whore. And what is the word on the back of the bed there, Preston?
I think it says whore as well. Or no, I it says W-O-R-E. I think she missed the H.
Damn it.
War.
She ran out of pig's blood.
That's autocorrect.
Yeah. It's war, so.
What's it good for?
I don't know.
Absolutely nothing.
I guess so. But apparently he said that to put this delicately, this comes to an end when she discovered in the arms of another woman. The whole incident she describes as cathartic. I already read that part. This was a one-off offense caused by the breakdown of a relationship. Mr. Nichols told the court this whole case has the feel of something lifted straight out of the pages of a Jilly Cooper novel.
Of course, the Jilly Cooper novel is all featuring pig's blood.
The court heard Perbrick, who handed herself into police straight afterwards, played loud music as she carried out the act, selecting pig's blood because the victim, quote, liked pigs.
And this guy was cheating on her.
A neighbor raised the alarm when blood was seen seeping underneath the door.
Jesus.
Mr. Nichols said at 63, she accepts the way that the incident is completely out of character. The judge described the series of highly abusive slogans as quite appalling. And she sentenced Perbrick to 120 hours of community service and imposed a restraining order. So earlier, Mr. Nichols apologized on behalf of his client after she arrived at court wearing a white T-shirt and pink shorts. Her counsel said that she was let down by transport links and was in such a rush she did not have time to change into more suitable attire at court.
Of course, boot to bonnet.
Yeah. Tortilla chips aren't something that you'll likely think of when you hear the term highly flammable, but that doesn't mean they can't catch on fire. The Austin, Texas Fire Department said in a Facebook post that firefighters responded to a fire on July 12th at a factory on Trade Center Drive, and they arrived to find the fire had been caused by spontaneous combustion of tortilla chips.
I've never heard of this.
The department writes the factory in question was trying out a new way to handle the waste from the chips that, suffice it to say, didn't work out so well. The fire was confined to the exterior of the building and to multiple pallets of wood food waste. But large cardboard boxes of the same waste continued to ignite while we were on the scene. Firefighters had to return 3 days later when surviving boxes of the same food waste also burst into flames.
This might be the bad way to get rid of this stuff.
I have seen on, like, Hack My Life.
Yes.
That you can use tortilla chips as kindling.
Yeah.
In a fire. They're very, very flammable.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Firefighters say they doused all remaining crates of the stuff with water to prevent them from also igniting.
Not guacamole?
The fire did not cause serious damage to the building.
Hmm.
A self-proclaimed pimp is now wanted in connection to an alleged carjacking at a McDonald's.
I am a pimp?
The victim told police, wait to hear how he introduced himself. The victim told police that he was driving down the road in a 2007 BMW when a silver Mercedes SUV began following him Monday night. Someone inside eventually motioned for him to pull over, and both vehicles turned into the McDonald's. Instead of a friendly chat, the driver, a man who called himself Pimp Earl,
Pimp Earl,
got out of the car along with a female companion and accused the man of taking their BMW.
Earl, to me, does not appear to be a common pimp name.
They demanded the keys, to which the victim refused. And he said, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. Pimp Earl reportedly had said this to the victim.
See, Pimp Earl sounds like Pimple.
Yeah, it does.
Pimp right? Earl. Hey, you got a pimp Earl on your nose. That's when a third person in the suspect's SUV opened the rear door and brandished a rifle across his lap.
Let me call Pimp Bubba.
The victim said that the unknown man just sat there staring at him. Pimp Earl then grabbed the keys from the victim's hand, handed them to the woman, and all three took off. One was hurt in the incident, and the suspects are still at large.
That's worth it just for Pimp Earl.
That's why I put the story in there. A 61-year-old New Jersey woman has been charged with trying to smuggle nearly 10 pounds of heroin in packages that resembled cooked chicken after arriving Sunday at John F. Kennedy International
Airport.
Very
inventive.
Emma Soriano was taken into custody after disembarking from a flight to New York from Mexico City, United States Customs and Border Protection said in a statement.
Why are you injecting that cooked chicken into your forearm?
The four packages contained 9.7 pounds of heroin with an estimated street value of about $300,000. We're looking at the pictures of them right now. They look like real chickens. Soriano, a U.S. citizen, was caught while her baggage was being inspected. She faces federal narcotics charges and was turned over to Homeland Security investigators.
Finger looking good, right?
Yep. And then one last story, and we'll wrap it up with this one. There's a reason Goliath groupers are called the garbage disposals of the sea. They eat everything in sight, including sharks, apparently. A group of fishermen were able to witness a 500-pound grouper's rare meal during a fishing trip off the coast of Everglades City, Florida last week. Captain Jimmy Wheeler watched as someone in his group caught a 3-foot shark. Now, as the fishermen started reeling the creature in, a large shadow appears beneath it. I saw the video. It's wild. Wheeler instantly knew what was going to happen next. You can hear him in the video. So, watch this, guys. You're going to freak out. And then suddenly, an open-mouthed giant Goliath grouper swam up and ate this 3-foot-long shark. We're looking at the video of it.
It's amazing.
They are gigantic, these
Nature
groupers.
Is brutal.
Their mouths are huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and in a related story, I'm opening up a grouper farm next week.
The fishermen wrestled with the large fish for a few minutes until the line finally loosened and the Goliath grouper spit out the shark, which the fishermen planned to catch and release. That same grouper later swallowed a stingray. Somebody had said
that was
well.
One hungry grouper.
Yeah, they've become a nuisance, apparently, according to a lot of fishermen. They're eating everything. Goliath groupers have been protected in the state of Florida since 1990 due to declining populations. They must be immediately returned to the ocean unharmed if they are accidentally caught on a fishing line.
Just all mouth.
One of our diving excursions, I did see two grouper, and they weren't like a big 500-pound one like that, but they were large. And you needed to keep your distance.
There was a story about a diver who got her arm caught in one. Do you remember that?
No.
The mouth closed down, and so because the mouth is open, it's this big gaping maw,
it's huge.
Right? And so she reached in, and it closed down on top of her, and swam for a while. She was hit. She had a scuba rig on, so it was okay. But
I saw that with a whale shark one time.
Yeah.
Somebody get caught in the mouth of a whale shark. But man, groupers are just they're massive.
I don't think I want to stick my hand into any living creature's mouth.
Mouth, yeah.
Maybe a kitten.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.